Hello and welcome to Dive In With Me, the podcast by the Fondation EME, supported by André Loche Foundation and Radio ARA. As you know, we are on air every third Tuesday at 7:30, and you can re-listen to all of our episodes on all the streaming platforms. Today we welcome the drummer Pedro Gonzalez. Pedro started playing the drums when he arrived in Luxembourg at age 7. His first drum teacher was his next-door neighbor, who was also the drummer of a Pentecostal church. After his initiation, he started to get interested in fusion music and was influenced by legends like Chick Corea, Mike Stern, and the Brecker Brothers. This is also how he got introduced into jazz music and started to study at the conservatory. After his studies in Luxembourg, he went to Bristol to study music and joined Josh Ireland's band. Not only did he do a great job in Bristol, but he also got a master's degree at the famous Guildhall School in London, which is one of the greatest chapters of his life. Since he's back in Luxembourg, Pedro played in different Luxembourgish bands and has also been active in the Fondation EME. Today we'll discuss what a musician needs to bring to the table to be able to lead or join on social projects, which skills you might need to have, and how it changes you as a musician when playing in different settings than a concert setting. So welcome, Pedro. I'm happy to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Don't
great,
be shy.
Great to be here. Great to be here.
So to get you to know you a little better, can you tell us what your favorite song, bands, or music influences?
Right. This is an excellent question with an impossible answer. as I have hundreds of favorite songs, literally. I would say that I listen to a lot of contemporary music, pop, rock, reggae. I listen to trip hop, jazz. What else?
I know it's not easy to make a choice.
Yes. I tell you what, I'll give my favorite song of today.
Okay, that's a good choice.
My favorite song of today probably would be CC Strut by The Meters. It's a funky song.
Okay, so let's listen to that. So let's get right into it. So the next section is the benefits of music. So mm-hmm. Today we are here to discuss what a musician needs to bring to the table to be able to, not able, that's not a good word, but to be active in social projects. And I know that you went to Guildhall and I was there like 2 years ago for a conference. So I know that they are really invested in encouraging students to participate in social projects, and that's really part of the courses, and that you have courses about it. Did you have courses about it? Was that how you got maybe into this subject, or?
No. I was aware of the courses, and somehow, I guess what I did in London was I participated in a lot of samba and percussion ensembles. And we used to play on the streets. We used to play with a multitude of people coming from different backgrounds, not necessarily just musicians. And I think in London, that's pretty much what I did. But I must say that I've been involved with Fondation EME, even before I went to London, and I've been able to collaborate with choirs a lot of the times with choirs. And this is a great question that you asked me before. what is the skill set that one has to have? I would say that this is way more than just a musical set or skill set. For sure, there needs to be a lot of reading between the lines. Mm-hmm. So having a global perception at all times of what we are doing, forgetting a little bit about our musician mind for some parts, and really think about what the project is about. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's just about bringing joy to people and having people being included in whatever we are doing, and music then becomes just a means to an end. So music is not really the end goal, but it becomes a vehicle for something else. Yeah,
because a lot of the time on like the projects that we do, mm-hmm. It's not that important on how good a musician you are at the end of it, mm-hmm. but more what you lived through the project, mm-hmm. and what you created together with all the other participants and with the musicians. So
yeah,
I think that also marks you as an artist in that note, isn't it? Because the end result is maybe not, it's mm-hmm. still important, but it's not the most important part of something.
And it's also, I mean, it's also, for me, it's great because it challenges you a little bit on, especially if you are like me. I'm always a perfectionist and a idealist. So, and a lot of times in those situations, you really need to adapt on the spot, mm-hmm. At some points, because maybe some people have some sort of disability that will not allow to perform in a certain way, and then it's up to the professional musicians in the room to adapt and to make everyone feel welcomed and participating, rather than people thinking, oh, this is too difficult, this is too challenging, and then it becomes challenging for them. So coming back to this thing of perception, once we have the goal of what we are doing, then I think everything else becomes Plan B, you know, mm-hmm. becomes in the back of our minds.
And you're constantly adapting to
exactly
to whatever is needed.
Exactly. I remember one situation, for instance. I was accompanying a choir of old people.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure, but that's what I wanted to ask you, because you participated in the gospel project that we did in 2017, no?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure anymore if it was you or not, and I wanted to ask you.
No, it was me.
Yeah, that's and right. When you said I did it before I went to London, I was like, oh, yeah, it was him. But did you play the drums for that?
I played the drums, yes.
Yeah.
And even today, actually, before coming to the studio, we played at Cathedral.
Oh, yeah. Here. Yeah, because they do it for the octave.
Uh-huh.
Robert told me.
Exactly. So yes, those soloists who come in front to sing a song, a number, sometimes they are old people, right? And and sometimes we rehearse at a certain speed and in a certain way. And then when it comes the time for them to sing, sometimes they start really slow or in another place, totally on their own. And then it's we need to react quickly, but somehow make it look smooth, not like a big mistake, not mm-hmm. make a big deal out of it. And so if someone is really in their own bubble musically and they are not aware of what's happening around, they can quickly be in a bad mood or, you know, something, I don't know, something like that can impact badly, you know, the situation. So Always to be aware of whoever is gonna be in front and leading, and being aware of also of the challenges that they can bring.
Yeah, because the purpose of concerts, like the gospel concert or the Altogether project that you will be working with us on very soon, is not to... still to have like an artistic level, a good artistic level. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why it's also very important for us to just work with professional musicians, but still be able to have everyone be comfortable.
Exactly.
And be the best version of themselves, basically, on stage also.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like twice the tempo that it should have been. Or
Well, yes. I mean, little incidents like that happen all the time. And even with professionals, sometimes that happens.
I mean, it happens to professionals as well. Exactly. That's what I wanted to say.
There is a great sentence, which is even the best tennis player sometimes puts the ball into the net. And we are humans. We do mistakes occasionally. But the real art, I think, is to how we take that mistake and how do we approach the solution, you know?
But doesn't that also give you perspective on maybe the music that you do professionally? Because, doesn't that help you to put it into perspective when you're not performing on how you think you should? You know, when something like to not get into the mindset of, oh, no, that wasn't great and the whole concert was not good.
Yeah.
But maybe put it more in perspective on maybe. Yeah. Does it help you to have those experiences on stage and then use those experiences in professional settings?
Yeah.
And then put them into perspective also that, okay, I played a mistake. So
I tell you what, those experiences really, really bring your level of listening and adapting on the spot to another level. And I remember one story from a drum teacher that I had in London. He was playing with some legendary double bass player, jazz double bass player. And he was very nervous. And he's a professional. But at some point, I think he did like a mistake or something in the structure of the song, something like that. And he was very, very uncomfortable on stage. And that double bass player looked at him, smiled, and he adjusted his playing to what my teacher was doing. And that was an incredible lesson for him. Because he says, playing with other professionals, it's the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Because everything is great and everyone knows their parts and it just goes along. But being able to adjust your playing to something that happens which is not planned, that is a skill. It's really, really difficult. It's easier to say it than do it, you know?
Yeah.
So, working a lot with projects like this, especially choirs of old people or... no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, like non-professionals.
Non-professionals. That will put you on the spot all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it shapes you also, I think.
Completely. Completely.
Let's listen maybe to some more music.
Okay.
So what other song did you bring today?
Right. We can listen to a song that it's been a while since I last listened to it, but I always enjoy, which is Stuck in the Middle with You.
Let's do it. When you started out with nothing and you found that you're a selfish man. And we're back with Taylor today. So we were just talking about how social projects shape you as a professional musician. And we also wanted to talk about how the difference between concerts and workshops. How is it different for you as a musician to lead a workshop?
Yeah.
Which is a total different setting than a concert. Yes. Completely.
Totally. Okay, well, one of the things that I also enjoy doing as much as playing is to share my passion for music, share what I've learned as well. And being in charge of an activity, let's say a workshop, percussion workshop, it's something very, very special. And the reason why I think it's completely different from performing, it's because you are in charge of a group, again, of possibly non-professionals, non-musicians, just regular people that may have or not disabilities. And the goal is to arrive at a point where you could do a performance,
mm-hmm.
where you could perform. And this is what I always try to think of, even if there is no show at the end planned, if there is no public performance or anything like that, I want to try to arrive at that stage. And so that's my goal. That's what I have in mind. Now, coming back to what we were saying before about being sensitive to other people and their difficulties, their challenges, I think here in the workshop world, that increases by a thousand. It's everything is about that. Everything becomes about reading the room, mm-hmm. reading people, where they are comfortable, where they are not comfortable. And I always like to start with some warm-up exercises where I can assess what can be easy or difficult, and then kind of build from there. And it's also really important to, again, be able to adapt, to be able to change the plans that you have thought beforehand, and just within seconds understanding, okay, this is not going to be possible. All those 20 minutes of workshop that I had planned at home, it's not going to happen. So now we need to come up with something else. And yes, so that's probably the similarity that I would find between playing music and doing workshops. It's about having a range of different possibilities that you can bring.
And I mean, because you now also do concerts in mm-hmm. Care homes and refugee homes for us
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with Josh from
yes.
Josh Island.
Yeah.
So maybe there, what's the difference there from like a concert? Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into a specific institution that's just been waiting for you. I mean, if you go to a concert and grab tickets for the band that you're playing, people also just come for you, but it's different, no?
Yeah, totally different. Generally in a concert, let's say we played here at Rotonde, we have played in festivals, we have played in nice big auditoriums where people are expecting us for a long time, and it's a big party, and everything feels like a party. And I think for a band, it's easier to play for an audience that is expecting that concert, and they are really there for that concert. When you go to one of those situations you mentioned, people are not there primarily because of a concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the other way around. We are the ones bringing music to people who are already there. And
who also couldn't go to one
exactly,
of the concerts.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, and they really enjoy. The thing is, I was saying, from the perspective of a stage, perspective of a musician, it's way easier to play for a crowd who is dancing, who is singing along, who is participating, engaging from the first minute. Whenever we play for a public that is not really reactive, they are just there looking at you and not saying anything, or sometimes they clap, sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they fall asleep.
Sometimes they fall asleep, yes.
Which is also a good sign,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean that the concert's bad. Maybe that relaxes the person.
Exactly. That sometimes is tricky because we don't know if they are not reacting because they don't like the music, because it's too loud, or because, I don't know, we start questioning ourselves when playing. But we talked about this with a producer friend, me and Josh. We were complaining because one time we were in Germany and there was someone in the first row who was really with a dead face all the time. Not engaging, not talking, not clapping, nothing, not singing along. It was really poker face.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, hey, did you see that guy? That was difficult to play. That was very difficult. And then turns out that he approached us and he said, wow, that was fantastic. I was there enjoying from the first second, and that really touched my heart. And that was a big surprise for us. We were not expecting. We thought it was the other situation. And talking about this with this producer friend, he told us, well, sometimes you need to bring joy to people who are not in the mood to be in a party, you know? They are not in the mood for anything. And they just go there, and then it's up to you guys to make them smile and make them having a good moment, even if they are not showing that. But you never know what's going on inside of that person.
That's true.
And so with this mindset, I stopped really like paying too much attention or questioning myself based on the reaction of the public. Seeing if they are dancing or moving or clapping, because that can mean many things. And the fact is that we have very, very positive responses from people who were not moving too much, maybe because they were in a wheelchair or something, but they really for sure enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is also the part of the mission we have when we go to those places, which is bringing that joy and entertainment to people.
Yeah, and as you said, it's not always a bad sign. Also, maybe mm-hmm. sometimes people can't move.
Exactly.
Or music, like, relaxes you. I was once in a concert for people with dementia, and one woman fell asleep.
Mm.
And so one of the educators told us that was the first time in like months that she didn't move or had like some kind of situation, and that it was the first time in, yeah, as I said, months that she relaxed.
Yeah.
And so it was a really, really big, important moment as well.
Oh,
and so it was not a bad reaction to the music, was not good.
Yeah.
But it was for her really good reaction to
even
this
if
kind of music
for you as
me.
A performer that could be
you would think like
a very
oh
bad
no.
sign, right? when
I'm boring
her. Yeah, exactly. When people fall asleep when you are singing or so, it's yeah. But
yeah,
this is a great story. And again, that's the proof that a reaction does not mean necessarily
what we think.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I feel like we could talk about this for ages, but we need to move to the next section.
Okay.
So we're coming to the end of this episode and to the recommend yourself section. So what could you recommend to the listeners? Do you have a song or a band or a movie, series, something that they could read, listen to, watch that you feel like would translate something? I think I forgot to send you the question in preparation, so I'm just putting you on the spot. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, what comes to mind at the moment is a biography that I read recently, which actually Josh, we were talking about Josh Hyland. He had that book and he was telling me about. It's by Dave Grohl. Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl is not just the lead vocalist of Foo Fighters, but he used to be, or he is a drummer. He used to play Nirvana.
He was the drummer of Nirvana.
Yes. And so he has a book, it's an autobiography called The Storyteller. And he goes through his story from the beginning of his journey as a drummer, starting out, until the most recent days. And it's just fascinating, I think, well, primarily to musicians, but I think also to non-musicians who just like a little bit of being in that behind the scenes and what happens really in the life of a musician, going through all the phases, breaking through, starting to play in, you know, in little bars, local bars where nobody pays attention, and making the way all the way to the stadiums that he plays, and the legend that he has become. So he breaks down the chapters, and that goes like super smoothly into the reality that we know today, and it's just very well written. So I recommend that one.
Yes, so Dave Grohl, The Storyteller.
Yes.
So thank you, Pedro, for being us today. Thank you also to all the listeners for listening. So Dive In With Me is a show by the Fondation Emil, supported by the André Loge Foundation. Thank you to Radio Ara for hosting the show and for supporting us on this venture, and to Taipan for our beautiful jingles. You can also listen to this episode on all the streaming platforms. So see you soon. Bye.